Well, today's Holy Gospel takes us to one of my favorite places in all the world, the beautiful Sea of Galilee. It's there that Jesus meets two sets of brothers, our beloved St. Andrew and Peter, and then James and John. Now, these four men are fishermen who are making their livelihood from catching fish. And Jesus tells them, leave everything, and that they should come and follow him, and he will make them become fishers of men. Well, several translations omit the word become, simply saying, I will make you fishers of men. Well, the Greek, now I realize that's why I had to take so many semesters of Greek in seminary, was not to read some ancient menu, but was to read the New Testament, which is written all in Greek. And the difference here is that looking at the verb ginomai, which means to come into being, what Jesus was saying is that I'm going to transform you, a process, into fishers of men. And it's kind of interesting, the eventual transformation from fishermen to shepherds would also take place. There's a great difference between catching and keeping, and that's the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. That transformation would take the better part of 3 years for it to happen. It's not like a light switch had been hit and all of a sudden, boom, they're fishers of men and then shepherds, and they had to make a commitment. And the words, follow me, are a call to service. It's no small thing to give up everything to follow Jesus. You see, to follow Jesus Christ is to set aside our own goals and pleasures and to grasp onto the purposes for which God created us. These purposes are to know him in a personal way and to make disciples of others by teaching them all of Christ's commands. All those who truly follow Christ must exchange their affections, their goals, and their priorities for his. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, their goal in life was to be successful fishermen. They wanted every haul to be able to be a big one so that they could be able to pay and take care of their families. In asking them to give up this goal, he asked them to follow him, and he would make them become fishers for men's souls. And Jesus promised to make them become fishers of mankind. A lot of people see a fisherman as someone with a fishing pole casting a lure into the waters of a stream or a lake. But that was not the case back in the first century when Jesus called his disciples. They caught fish by casting nets from their boat. And through quite a bit of experience, they found that their best time for fishing was at night. We know this is true by looking at Luke chapter 5, verse 5, when Jesus told Peter to cast his nets on the other side of the boat. And Peter reluctantly said, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And if you fast forward to the risen Jesus in John chapter 21, the apostles were out all night fishing when they see the risen Jesus on the shore of the Galilee where he makes them breakfast. So how did they fish all night? They used an immensely powerful and effective method, a lure, light. You see, fish are attracted to light. Jesus uses this same effective method to draw people to himself. John tells us that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, 12. Now, just as fish are attracted to the disciples' light, God wants people to be drawn to his light that is shining through his people. The light of every believer in his presence is the light of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. The Apostle Paul stated in his second letter to the Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. To follow Jesus means complete and immediate detachment from everything else. Peter and Andrew, the gospel tells us, left their nets, suggesting they walked away from their occupation. James and John left their father Zebedee, suggesting that following Christ takes precedence over maintaining close proximity to family. Now, that doesn't mean they walked away and forgot totally about their family, because we read later in the Gospels that Peter, living in Capernaum, his mother-in-law was sick and Jesus healed her. They were all together. So there was not like an immediate divorce and their lives changed. There was still that connection that would remain. After all, a marriage is a blessing from God. We need to understand that the requirements for following Jesus are not the same for everyone. It may be for you one thing and for you another, and for me another. For some, it means leaving their present occupation to follow him. For others, it means being willing to leave family connections and being close to family. I know what both of these mean, as they're like us. We were transported from occupations and family to serve him in his church. For everyone, it's a willingness to exchange their affections, goals, and priorities for his. Jesus expects commitment. Do you know people that have a fear of commitment? They might, date somebody for years upon years and never want to make a commitment. That's both male or female. You never know. It could be any type of commitment. Saying, okay, I want to serve God in his church. Yes, I will be on the vestry. Or whatever it might be. Or it might be fear of commitment. We have a lot of people that are sitting here today that have renounced that fear and have said, God, I will serve you in whatever way it is that you want me to help. Well, these fishermen had moved from merely associating with Jesus to being in fellowship with him. They walked with him. They listened to his every word. And Jesus was calling Peter to catch people for the purpose of giving them a message of life. Eternal life. I want you to fast forward nearly 3 years once again to John chapter 21. The risen Jesus calls out to the apostles and asks them if they've caught anything. Remember, it's similar to what we talked about with Luke chapter 5. They've been working all night. Well, he tells them to throw their net onto the other side of the boat. Just to give you a little background, Jewish fishermen, when they went out on the Sea of Galilee, they faced their boat to the north, and they fished at night. Well, how would they know what the north was? How does any fisherman know where north is? The North Star. So they would face their boat north, and they would throw their net over the left side of the boat, because that was the Jewish side of the lake. No matter where they were, that was the Jewish side of the lake. Well, Jesus told them, take the boat out again, and this time, throw it off to the other side of the lake, which was considered, if you will, the Gentile side of the lake, because on that side of the lake was the Decapolis and the Gadarenes. Well, Jesus is expanding their horizons and expanding their catch. The whole world is for them to catch, and not just Israel. And after that, oh, by the way, they take in a huge haul of Gentile fish, telling them that they are now to be catching not just Jews, but also Gentiles. We wouldn't be here today if they didn't do what he told them. For how many of us here are Jewish? Right? We're Gentiles. But we're also Christians, which means that we're grafted in Romans 11:17. Anyway. After that, he makes some breakfast, Jesus asks Peter three questions in John chapter 21. Peter, do you love me? And Peter starts to get itchy and says, you know I do. And then again, he asks him, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? a third time. It's sort of undoing the three denials that Peter had. Well, what's wonderful is he reinstating him, and he says to him, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. And basically what he's saying is, you're not just a fisherman anymore, you're now my shepherd. And you're going to be the earthly portion, as well as the other apostles, being a shepherd of my flock. That's a great difference between being a fisherman and a shepherd. A great difference, as I said earlier, between catching and keeping and tending. And that is the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. As Christians, we sometimes get the impression that we have to do it all. We have to take it all upon our shoulders and try to go from A to Z, or if they're from Canada, A to Z, or England. God doesn't need us to do anything for him. He gives us the opportunity to serve him, to feel his pleasure, and he welcomes those efforts, and he loves and honors every single thing we do, for they glorify him. But he does not need us to go out and catch fish. Jesus didn't need the apostles to catch fish, but he invites them to bring their catch alongside his. He asks them to work alongside him. Unlike Luke 5, Jesus told him to go out and cast the net. He wasn't in the boat, meaning he'd be alongside them spiritually, but not physically be with them. He's not physically with any one of us as we work for him. And no matter what it is that we do for him, but he's with us spiritually. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And that's the way it is. Jesus sends us out to do the work he has given us to do. We pray that at the end of the service that he has designed for us to do. He blesses us and guides us the whole way. Yeah, we're called to work hard for him. We're supposed to be organized. And there's no excuse for laziness, sloppiness, or half-hearted effort in God's kingdom. If it is God's work that we're doing, then we must do it with all of our might and strive to do it with excellence in the process. And that's what I believe today's gospel message is all about. Jesus calls us to ministry in his name, to come alongside him, to be taught and fed. And I'm reminded of the old adage, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll be fed for a lifetime. So what's the most important thing we can do as fishers of mankind, or fishers of men, and as Christians? Well, we do know that when someone is dying, one of the first things that runs through all of our minds is, oh, I hope they're saved. Isn't that a little late? What really matters in life is whether or not people know Jesus Christ. When somebody is dying, nothing else really matters. I want to suggest to you that that question should be on our hearts long before that person is about to take their last breath. We should be asking that question and introducing them to Jesus long before they prepare to leave this earth. It should be a priority in our lives to make sure that they know and love Jesus. Now, there have been times in the life of every Christian when they recognize that the greatest thing they could do in life was introduce someone to Jesus Christ. We don't do the saving, for only God can do that. We can be like Andrew. What did Andrew do that was so important? He introduced his brother to Jesus Christ. And that's what God's asking us to do. Introduce others to Jesus. Be an Andrew. Isn't it wonderful that we're in a church that has his name? That he is somebody who stepped out of his comfort zone and said, hey, you gotta meet this guy. It's so important. Well, in order to accomplish that goal, we need to be willing to lay aside our own personal ambition and plans in order to fully follow Christ. And to better reflect the light of Christ to those around you in his words, in your words, your attitude, and your actions. Look for and take opportunities to share with others what Jesus has done for you. I'm going to ask you, in closing, to remember those very, very important words that Jesus spoke that day. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.